Church today. Hallelujah. That fresh manna is for today, not for tomorrow, not yesterday, not next month, not next year, for today. Now, we forget that we worship the God of today now as well. And that's what makes it so wonderful and our faith so alive. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word now. We thank you, Lord, that we desire to mix faith with that which we hear, and that, Lord, we want to be not only hearers but doers of the word. And Father, may this word continue to build the body of Christ through each one of us, both individually and corporately now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But I want today to talk about our unity and our fellowship, and I'm calling our teaching today, Walking Together in Unity. Walking Together in Unity. And I've been listening over the past few weeks what the Holy Spirit again is saying to us as a church and what he's requiring of each one of us. And so I was just quickened to be to exhort you today in the scriptures on some things that we know and probably some things that we don't know. And again, I'm going to base this because the walk of unity is clearly given to us in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's remind ourselves again what God is doing and why we're here today in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to take it up and just read it as the scriptures reveal. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, we tend to forget verse 4. We love to hone in, don't we, obviously, verse 11 onwards, that God has set in the church the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But none of this can be achieved or will ever be achieved unless verse 1 is applicable. Prisoner of the Lord, which he was, this is his prison ministry. He says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. This can never work unless we have been called from the foundation of the world. So we can take great delight and comfort that this, what God is doing, is for the called. And we believe that we are. And so we can move on with that. He says, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. So on our part, for this to be achieved, we have to walk in that humility, that loneliness. We have to got to be gentle with one another. He says, long-suffering. Yes, it looks at times as though nothing happens, nothing changes. How long is this going to go on in my life? When am I going to see breakthroughs and so forth? Bearing with one another in love. Because it won't be built otherwise. It's impossible. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So this can only be achieved, this unity, having the right spirit in our fellowship, that is the Holy Spirit, he says, in the bond of peace. Have we come today to make peace? That peace of God that passes all understanding. Or have I come today because I've had a bad week and I feel like taking it out on my brother and sister? You know? And we're all subject to it. I know it goes on in families. I know the husband's had a bad day at work. The first thing he wants to do is take it out on the children or take it out on the wife. We have to watch all of these things. And it's so easy to do it. But he says that if we endeavor, we want this, it's in our hearts, then we do everything in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Here it is again. He refers back to the calling. We see it in verse 1, and he reminds us again in verse 4. So we're called from the foundation of the world for this to be achieved. And people say, well, how do I know I'm called? You will know if you're called because you will endure to the end. Amen. You will stay with it. You'll stay through your trials. That'll all be an indication that you are called, because there's a teaching today where once called, always saved, so you can sit back on your laurels, and if you miss it or you're not living the life that you should be, doesn't matter, you're called from the foundations of the world. Oh, if only. If only. Gosh, it made preaching a lot easier, but I'm afraid it ain't. You see, on our side of it in this world, we endure, we stay with it to the end, and they're clear indications. One God, one Father is above all and through all and in you all. So there's the calling, there's the divine authority, there's the headship. Christ head over his church. But to such, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. There again is another key word in verse 7, grace. Mm-hmm. There's, you see, it's given to us because it's not always achievable in the natural. So grace has to be present in order for this to be given. And we're each of us given a measure of it as God sees fit. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave the gifts to them. So gifts have to be given for this to be accomplished and achieved. And we know this. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness and plottings, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. A body must grow. The sign of growth is healthiness. Now, many today interpret growth as how many you have in the body of Christ. Now, probably some cynics would say, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? You know? But I believe it's true. I believe it's true. We look to growth. Indeed, we do. And that is our witness, that is our ministry, our testimony. But growth consists of much, much more. And we see about it because it talks about us growing up, growing into unity, not being carried around by every wind and doctrine, which sadly so many Christians and churches are prone to. So our growth that it speaks about is a lot, lot more than just how big the church is. But I'm saying also that growth is also important as well. So we have to keep everything in balance to what the scriptures tell us about. Now, Paul opens up with this, doesn't he, as to how this will be achieved. And it can only be achieved by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the anointings that he sets in the body, with the whole body functioning, as well as the office ministries, the word ministries, and we believe that the whole fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is being restored back to the true body of Christ. And indeed, it can only be done and achieved when the whole body is under the divine headship of Christ and looking to Christ and Christ alone. We will not, I believe, see the full five manifestations until our eyes are totally off man and looking to the Lord himself. Then God will give them. Because he knows otherwise what will happen. Idolatry, which man is so easy to succumb to, he will start, or she will start, looking to the ministry instead of looking to Jesus. So there's a right divine appointment of which we will see these five in full manifestation. And I believe, as we read it here, it will be when everyone's eyes is focused on Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's why we're maturing and growing into that stature for that. But we are living in the times of restoration. We know that because it says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a stature, there's a fullness, there's a measure that only God sees. We don't see it, but God sees it. That is part of our restoration that is taking place. We're being reconciled, in other words, to Christ, bringing us back to what it should have been. The church should never have lost her headship. It was a tragedy what happened. But we are seeing through the outpouring of the Spirit now, he is restoring, bringing, and also, I might add, in this restoration, it is also part of the revelation of the bride that's making herself ready. So in many ways, it's a twofold thing that's happening. But we are being brought back to what the church should have been. She should never have lost the baptism experience of the Spirit. She should never have lost sight of Christ as our head, and substituting a man instead, because idolatry got in. But that's another story, and that's another account. We're on about our walk of unity today. And so the church ceased to be spiritual, leaving the baptism of the Spirit, becoming self-seeking and interested in developing their own ideas, and the church started to become an organization instead of an organism. And there's the difference. That's why God won't let us touch this. That's why God isn't interested in any good ideas. Let's try this, or let's put our hands to this, or let's do what that church is doing, or whatever it be. No. He won't let us touch any of this. And we used to get frustrated in the past when we tried to have a go and fell flat on our faces, and we'd have the sulks and miserable and everything, and then God in his mercy brings us back and starts to show us, don't touch it. Don't touch this, you see, because you clearly have shown it won't work. It won't work. And we've now come to that place. We've learned this, haven't we? Praise God. And he gives us the fivefold ministry for the very purpose that we are here to develop spiritually. That our lives become a spiritual life. a spiritual offering unto the Lord. We're consecrated today in this meeting to offer our whole life, our whole being, as a spiritual offering to the Lord. Did you know that our meetings are about offering a spiritual offering? It's a type of sacrifice. But of course we don't sacrifice. We don't have to bring all these doves and sheep and whatever it is. Thank God that we don't have to do that. But there is still a spiritual side to this. Our fellowship, our unity, why it is important, why we should come together, is because we are offering ourselves in unity and oneness as an offering today to God. This is us. This is what we are. This is what we believe. This is what we desire. This is our faith. Here we are, Lord. We offer this to you. It's not about the pastor offering this up. It's not about the teacher, or it's not about one person. It's about me offering up this sacrifice to God today. That's why it's important. See? Next week we'll look after itself. Tomorrow is gone. It's about today. And when we start to grasp this one, and we see that I am responsible for this, we're going to start to see the Holy Spirit really moving. We're going to start to see these healings, these deliverances. We're going to see change. I place my ministry on this, because that is why our fellowship is so important. I am here today with my brothers and sisters to offer up this spiritual sacrifice to God, because that's all we can give him. We can't give him any more, and he doesn't want any more. He wants our heart, he wants our motive, he wants our faith, he wants to know why I'm here today. Why am I here today? That's a good question. Could be another sermon. I know why I'm here today. I'm here today to share with my brothers and sisters to offer up this worship unto God, that it will be clean, undefiled, acceptable to God. That's what it's about. Now never forget that, brothers and sisters. And for us to achieve all of this, we've just read to you in Ephesians 4 how that helps us in which to do that. God has provided all the ministry, everything that is needed, so that I can have the wherewithal to offer up, to share with my brothers and sisters, worship today. This is why I say it's important. This is why I say that when we come together in fellowship like this, there is an anointing placed on this that is not when you're on your own. And rightly so. When you're on your own and you go before the Lord, that's you, God. That's where you build your personal relationship with God. We're not here today to build our personal relationship with God. You do that in the closet. We're here today because there's a different anointing he places on the meeting, and we're here today to offer up worship that will be acceptable to God. And this is why that worship that is offered up to God, which is spiritual, God sees neither male nor female. It is spiritual. It is an offering to God that is acceptable. Now, only each of us can answer that one, whether it is or it isn't. I can't answer that. I only know the desire of my heart, but I want to make sure that I'm offering up with my brothers and sisters it's right. So it's important how I come. It is important my attitude's right. It's important that I am at peace and fellowship and harmony with each other and everything, so that this can be achieved and accepted. That's why I say we need to pray for these meetings. We need to pray for our fellowship. We need to be prayed up as we come, so it stops the powers of darkness trying to work these divisions or whatever he tries to do. Because all we should be interested as overcomers, was God pleased today? Did he accept this today? Was he glorified? I don't know, but only time will tell. And we will know in time, because we'll see the hand of God moving in our midst. You see? So it's wonderful how God sets this. And this is how, why he sets the gifts within the body to help develop this spiritual life that we're to have together in fellowship and unity. You see, to have this quiet spiritual retreat where I can worship God and I can live for God on my own is not scriptural. Now we know that circumstances were all scattered around. We bring this one up many times, but God has made no mistake. I don't know why it is. I don't know why we have some living where they are, and we travel and come together. I haven't the answer for that. And I've been in this now for over 40 years. I'm a bit of a veteran now, and been pastoring for many, many years, and I still don't have the answer to that. Maybe God's still watching to see what is in our heart, whether we're willing to sacrifice in order for true fellowship, unity and oneness. Maybe that's part of it, but there's still more to it. But whatever it is, God has made no mistake. And it's important that we come together for this. You see, the question is, am I concerned about the building of Christ's body? Or am I more concerned about building my own needs and my own wants? God has been addressing that one for many years with us. If we put things first, we get the priorities right, everything else will flow. We call it seeking the kingdom. You see, seeking the kingdom helps me to be able to allow Christ to build his body through me. That is why every one of us is so important. Where it's important, our fellowship, because Christ is building his body through you, through you, through you, through me, every one of us. That's why it's vital. And of course the enemy gets very vocal. Well, what use am I? I don't say anything. I don't do anything. I don't seem to have the gifts yet, or whatever it would be. That's logic. That's where the enemy works condemnation. That's where the enemy tries to put us down. We have to overcome that one. We're not here as a mistake. We're here. It is a divine appointment. We already read it. It said right back there, called with a calling. So we're called to this by God. And he's made no mistake. He's not looking at your personality. He's not looking at your education. He's not looking at your background, whatever it is. You are called, period. And he's made no mistake. And he will build through you. That is why each of us have the unction of the Spirit. We have the anointing. We have the Spirit. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have everything at your disposal today, now. And you will find that God help will just suddenly use you, or you will find that you need to say something in a meeting, or you will find I have a need to prophesy, just I feel God's giving me some words. And so we can start to build up, exhort one another. The question is, do I want to encourage my brother and sister today? Do I want to be used? Lord, I'm here, I'm open to be used to help a brother or sister. Maybe they've had a terrible week. Maybe the devil's really been on their back or whatever. I'm here today, I'm open, I'm ready. That's all God wants. And he'll do the rest. But it's an attitude of heart and mind. It's whether we want to be used or not. So am I concerned about building Christ's body, or am I more involved about myself and my own development and what I want? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians 3 and verse 10, which says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So there we are. If you want to be used, then you need to know the fellowship of being conformed to his death. Wow, that's something, isn't it? So that's there. God will work that. Because out of death comes life, resurrection. There has to come a death first, then resurrection. And many times that death is simply an attitude. God says that attitude has to die. And when you let it go, then immediately resurrection takes over. Life takes over. And you know, the irony of all of this is that when you get to that, you think, what was all that fuss about? What? You know, why did it have to take me 20 years? Well, there we are. That's the nature. That is what it's about. That's, you know, we've all experienced that. Because the enemy is a master at blowing things out of proportion. Wow. You're only going to see it in the world. You're only going to hear it now in politics and everything's going on. And, oh, the wrangling and the arguments and you name it, wherever it is. He is a master at blowing things out of proportion to what it really is. And our lawsuits are making billions out of it these days. Really are. So there we are. It's in his death. Our death. That gives us the clue. And you see, it requires that complete surrender to be totally abandoned to him. You see, when I want things for myself or my relationships or whatever it is other than God, it starts to distort my vision. I no longer am sensitive to the body of Christ. And that's what it does. That's why the enemy tries what he does. He doesn't want us sensitive to this body. He doesn't want us building this body, which you, each of us, are a part of. He's very clever how he works, the enemy. Very, very subtle. But I don't know about you. I don't want to play his games anymore. I really do not. You see, God's opening eyes today. He's been opening my eyes as I've been preparing this. You know, don't think that because I'm the mouthpiece, you know, I look at this as I start, I think, gosh, where have I been for 40 years? Here we are, there's more to see than what the enemy's trying to do. God's got us committed to his body, and that's the key to it. And if I'm no longer seeing Jesus Christ, I'm not seeing his body. Because you can't detach. If you see Jesus, you see his body. If you don't see Jesus, you don't see his body. And the enemy wants to attack on that one. He wants to attack with our vision. He wants to make us shallow. You know, We've got to defy him. And the way we defy him, we just get up and we do what God wants us to do. Defy it. Okay, I missed it, Marloff. Okay, I sinned badly. Things came out of my mouth they should never have come out. But I go on by the grace and mercy of God. And you get it right. That's the whole point, because what it does, it keeps you looking at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, you look at his body. And when you look at his body, you look at fellowship. And you look at your brother and sister. Because that's what it's about. We see this spiritual offering that God is giving up to us today. You see, true unity in the body is God himself. It's not about, well, I hope to get some real joy. I hope to have real blessing today, and I hope we have a real glory fit, you know, and I'm ready for it and so forth. I mean, praise the Lord, I'm all for glory fits and whatever, but that isn't the motive. That isn't why I'm here. That should be a part of it. I'm here today because I'm consecrating myself today to offer up a spiritual offering. That's the first and foremost thing. And the joy and the blessings and the peace and everything comes as a result of that. You see, so many charismatics today have got it so wrong. They want to feel the goosey bumps. They want to feel the joy, the blessing and everything. So the whole thing's pumped up. And very often you've got a song leader in the front there who's controlling the whole thing, trying to move it forward and everything. I know, I've been in it. I've been in those environments to get to a place. I wish that man up there would shut up. Can we not be still and hear the voice of Jesus? He's controlling the whole thing. What are they trying to do? They're trying to create worship. Can't create worship. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Because they're coming for the wrong reasons. You see? But you try and tell them that and, you know, you get the reaction. But you leave them to the grace and mercy of God. We have the light and we walk by that light and we know what to do with that light. And that's all that matters, you see? But what am I coming for? That's the question. Am I measuring my life by this standard or something else? You see, every situation each day is a means of obtaining a greater knowledge of Jesus. We are obtaining a greater knowledge of Jesus today. We did but know it. It's a step closer. And that knowledge just goes on. It's a fountain that will never run dry. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. We have to see Jesus in everything. Jesus saw everything of God to the point that he was even ready to wash the disciples' feet. He even saw God in that. The Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, bending down, washing men's feet. But he saw God in it. That's the whole point. God is in everything. He's there working together for good. He uses the negative to bring about the positive. This is what I marvel about with God. But do you know him in that? That's the question. That's why we're left in the world, that we might know him. And it's through that relationship in knowing him, that is why we come together as well as believers in unity and oneness of the Spirit, which he's building, to offer up this worship acceptable to him. This is a sign what we offer up today, because by your grace and mercy, we know you. We're learning from you. See? It's all an indication. It's giving back what you're receiving. If you're receiving the right thing, you cannot help but give it back. You offer it back to God. If you're not receiving, then you can't offer. But if you are receiving, something within you says, hey, I offer this back to you. Because he is the source, you see. It's that unbroken fellowship. It's a circuit that can't be broken. It's a continual circuitry. What you're receiving goes back to him. That's how it works all the time. And only you can check that one, you see. And that's why the enemy likes to get in, because he wants to hinder that. He wants to stop that, you see. But praise God, he's given us the power of the Spirit, and we can stop in our tracks and say, hang on, this isn't right. No, I can't go on like this, because there's a hindrance. And he will move these. This is why we say the Word of God is nothing like the Word that washes us. That washing is keeping us clean. It's removing hindrances. It's getting rid of the dirt. Because we pick it up from the world. It doesn't take long. You've only got to go out for the day in the world and you come back, oh, Lord, there's a lot of grime and filth out there, you know? The Lord's coming soon. He knows how much we can take. Let's finish up with Hebrews 10. We know this well. We know this well. We need to be reminded of this all the time. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So we're now under a new covenant, a better covenant, a different consecration, that we now can come together in fellowship and unity. We haven't got to go through a priesthood. We haven't got to bring offerings, sacrifices in that sense anymore. Isn't that wonderful? And he goes on, by a new and living way which he consecrated, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, which we have. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So here we are, we're talking about holding on to what we believe, what we have, the Word of God. Let's confess it, let's keep with it. Oh, but you don't know my life. Well, it's got nothing to do about life. Just confess it, believe it. Your life looks a mess half the times. It does. Our whole walk of faith looks an absolute mess. On the brink of disaster, confess what God says. You know, Brother Freeman did get it right. Confession does bring possession. It does in the end. You hold on to it. You see, this is what he's telling us here. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he has promised, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here it goes, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the day of the Lord. Mm. How much more after nearly 2,000 years when that was written? The Lord's certainly a lot nearer now than he was even when that was written. So he says here, not forsaking this. And let us consider one another. So I'm here today to consider not myself, but my brother, my sister, that this worship may be offered pure before God. You will get as much as what you put into this. It's entirely up to you. I can only deliver it. I can only be faithful to what God reveals. But at the end of the day, it's you and I, brothers and sisters, how far we move and go with all of this. Amen. Amen. Father, again, you have said it all. And thank you, Father. Thank you that you are revealing more what pleases you. It's all about what pleases you, not what pleases us. And you've shown today what pleases you by this offering up of worship and praise. Father, open our eyes, all of us, and our hearts to this more and more. Maybe we need to go away, some of us, and pray about this, what we've heard. That's good, healthy. But you know, Father, you know our circumstances, you know our hearts, you know everything and more. But Lord, you have shown the key to this. You have to be called for it. And we believe that we are called from the foundation of the world, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't stay with it. We would be back in the world, living like the rest of them do. So Lord, we take comfort today. We take comfort in your word and in the scriptures. Lord, help us to fulfill this, what we've heard today. Let us not compromise. Let us ever be mindful every time we come together that we're here today, I'm here today, to offer up sacrifice that is acceptable to you, worship. And so Lord, thank you. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for each one of us. May you be with us, ever preserve and keep each one of us, our going out and our coming in. Help us to seek only the kingdom. Help us, Father, to overcome in all things. Keep the evil one from us, Father, and temptations, those things that we so easily succumb to. Give your angels charge over us, we pray, Father. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Let him be constancy, Father.